Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Thank you for downloading the Tech Central podcast. My name is Duncan McLeod. I'm at the offices of the ZA Central Registry in Midrand today to chat about .Africa, the new geographical top-level domain, with Lucky Masilela, CEO of the ZA Central Registry. Yesterday marked the first time that the general public can register .Africa domains. This development came after a very lengthy process that involved protracted legal action with another prospective registrar for .Africa. Lucky, thanks for making the time to talk to Tech Central today about the .Africa process.
Duncan, pleasure.
Before we even start the discussion about .Africa, though, Lucky, please could you provide a bit of insight into the ZACR, what it is, when it was created, who owns it, how it's structured, how does it work, and what's its mandate?
Yeah. Thank you again, Duncan. ZA Central Registry, the history briefly was known as Uniforum in South Africa. And in 2012, ZACR was created. Part of the transformation and in line with the ECT Act, which governs the domain names in South Africa. So we came into being. And we are responsible for the administration of your co.za, your org.za, web.za, net.za. And in 2014, we added .Joburg, .Cape Town, .Durban, and .Africa, which evaded us, you know, where just somewhere in July of having signed the agreement in 2014 March with ICANN. Then in July, they allowed us to proceed with the three GTLDs, Cape Town, Durban, and Cape Town, but .Africa was suspended. So that is what happened, you know. So our core function really is looking after those second-level domain names under .za and the new GTLDs.
Okay.
And if I may add, you know, I think ZA Central Registry is by far the largest registry on the continent. And we administer the largest number of registrations. We have over a million names under the CO.ZA. And if you look at the rest of the continent, which really we want to pull them along, the next country behind us would be having about 60,000, which is Nigeria. And yeah. And the other thing within our space in South Africa, we've seen quite a lot of corporates, South African citizens, take up the name CO.ZA, dropping .com for CO.ZA, which is one of the biggest winners for us.
Okay. So tell me about a registry business. What is it exactly that you guys do?
Yeah, registry business. It's keeping stock of names, right, you know, that are related to individuals. You have a name that is associated with a country code like .za. You would make a name co.za and then you'd have Duncan at mcleod.co.za. So that name, you would apply for it from a registrar. And the registrar would in turn request for that name in our database. And if that name is available, then we'll allocate it to you as the end user. The registrar has an arrangement with us. There is an agreement for us to be hosting those names. The registrar would provide hosting services, which would range from your email address and providing your storage for your web sites, etc. And we would only be managing the names and linking them to the names server, to the cloud, or let's call it the zone files, so that you are able to communicate with the rest of the world. This is what we do as a registry versus a registrar and a registrant. We operate in a three-structured space where you have the registry that does the allocation of names into the zone file or links them to the zone file, ensuring that they are provisioning, you know. And the registrar collates the data from the registrant. The registrant, being the end user, collects his names or applies for the names that are associated with themselves or their business, or be their family name or clan name, and they would apply for that. So ideally, as administrators, we make it possible for you to be connected with the rest of the world.
Okay. And there's a global organization called ICANN. They look after this on a global basis. They've assigned ZACR to manage these particular, what do I call them, subdomains or components of the domain name system.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there are two legs to the agreements that we have. We have one agreement with ZEDNA, which is a ZA domain name authority, on the .za names. So the co.za, the org.za, web and net are on application or on an agreement with ZEDNA. Then the other three or four GTLDs are with an agreement directly with ICANN. So we are managing two agreements, one with ZEDNA in South Africa and the other one with ICANN in California for the administration of these four GTLDs, or these geographic top level domain names.
Okay. Who owns ZACR?
Board.
Is it a non-profit?
It's a non-profit company, and it has its own board. And you can own it tomorrow, be a board member, but there are no shares, limited by guarantee. And that's about it, really. Yeah, there are no shares involved, and NPC. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Great. Well, you mentioned, before we get onto .Africa, you mentioned the launch of the city domains, .Joburg, .Cape Town, and .Durban. How have those gone? What's the take-up of those domains been?
Not too far from our initial projections. The take-up in 2014 to December was quite exciting, but the renewals, we saw a slight shrinkage, not too much of a shrinkage that would make us worry today. But we are quite happy to report that the GTLD business globally, if we were to compare with your .Berlin, your .New York, and et cetera, has not been an easy ride. Your .com has really permeated and grown very strong in the market. And it takes a lot of convincing for people to move from these traditional or legacy names into a new namespace. But we're quite happy to say that the numbers that we are registering or showing in the three cities are shy, 7,000 shy of our target that we had predicted. We are currently sitting at 10,000 across the three cities. We think we can achieve much more than that, 25,000 and more. The only issue that we understand, which is a limiting factor, is the fact that the policy or the requirement to acquire or to access the GTLDs, these new geographic top-level domain names, which we are talking about, you cannot be any registrar and get those names. You need to be ICANN accredited.
Right.
If you're not ICANN accredited, you cannot be able to provision .Joburg, Cape Town, Durban, or even .Africa. So that is one of those market constraints that we're currently facing.
As a matter of interest, which of the three cities has attracted the most registrations?
I was expecting Joburg to do this, but Cape Town has the largest.
Interesting.
And then followed by Joburg, and Durban being the last, trailing by far behind, shy of 2,000 names. Cape Town is the winner,
And the sort of domains that are being registered, are they tourism related, or what type of, is it mainly businesses that are registering .Cape Town?
Mainly you would see across the three cities, you have cities names that would be, or rather corporates, for protection purposes.
Okay.
Then a little bit of tourism is budding, showing. And but we think with time we're going to see even down to your end users, where the Lucky Masilelas applying for their names, under the city names. It hasn't quite settled, in our economy that you can have multiple addresses. People still believe that they can or should hold on to their single address. And there is no acceptance or understanding that these names can be forwarded. You can have multiple addresses all forwarding to a common name that you'd have identified or picked, you know. But yes, these are some of the challenges that we need to be dealing with in partnership with Zedna, creating the awareness and for the uptake, yeah.
Okay. All right, let's talk about .Africa, the meat of what we're here to talk about today. There's been a long history to the creation of this GTLD, as it's called, generic or geographic top-level domain. How long has the process been? When, where did this start and when? That was a big sigh.
It's because, you know, at one point we were not sure if we were going to see the head of it, you know, or the light of day, you know. I can introduce the new GTLDs somewhere in 2011. A couple of thousands of names, close to 2,000 names were released globally. But the discussion for .Africa had happened long before ICANN announced and released this .Africa or the new geographic top-level domains. And we were then tasked, you know, by the continent. They were looking around who would be the best place entity to be the administrator for .Africa. And they were not certain if there is such an entity in South Africa or on the continent. The domain name is predominantly big, you know, in the US, it's big in Europe, you know, very small on the continent. I mean, the latest study is showing that we have, you know, in a continent with 1.2 billion, we have about 4.5 million registrations. So that just demonstrates how small we are. And of those, 1.2 million are free names. But nonetheless, coming back to this, we applied, we then getting support from the internet community. .Africa or Africa being a name, a geographic name, the custodian being the Africa Union. The Africa Union had to be then in the forefront, setting up the scene or giving support to whoever would be applying for .Africa. Africa Union Commission then issued a request for a proposal for entities who were willing to administer .Africa. This would be a precursor to applying to ICANN. So we prevailed in the ICANN, the Africa Union Commission application, which meant that we immediately had support of the Africa Union Commission. The Africa Union Commission had already been mandated through the O.R. Tambo Declaration and the Abuja Declaration to use ICT as an economic tool for Africa, and particularly the Abuja Declaration was equally granting a mandate to the AUC to continue applying for the .Africa domain name. So us prevailing enabled us to fulfill one of the critical requirements in applying for or through ICANN. We then started our application with ICANN, and there were three critical things with ICANN. If you were to apply for the name or those three or four names, you needed at least to get 60% support from the countries that were in Africa. And two, you needed to be financially, you know, stable to afford the operation of and technical. And the next third one, you needed to have no more than one objection from the government advisory committee. ICANN as a beast has a number of committees within itself. There's a committee that looks after the country codes, you know, there's a committee that looks after the geographic top level, there's a committee that looks after the government interest, there's a committee that looks after the community at large. So it's a multi-stakeholder structured entity. So one of those entities, being the government advisory committee, was critical in one to get that support. So we fulfilled those requirements, went through our initial evaluation, and we prevailed. And 2014, we signed our agreement in Singapore with ICANN, our registry agreement. for four names, because we had applied for all four names, you know, Durban, Cape Town, Joburg, and Africa. we proceeded with all, you know, we went through the process of registration, getting the contracts ready and the entire process. And, you know, we're third way into this whole process. The other applicant then approached the independent review panel. An independent review panel is a structure that is created within the ICANN bylaws, which says that if an entity feels that they have not been fairly treated, they can take their matter to the IRP for review. So this matter was taken to IRP, and the panel decided that they will suspend any further contractual agreements continuing with ourselves and ICANN until the matter has been concluded. So we went through, we continued with the other three names, and Dot Africa was suspended. This is somewhere in July 2014.
Okay. Who was this other potential?
It is an entity registered, or let's say Dot Connect Africa DCA, registered in Mauritius and as a trust and as a company registered in Kenya.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And what was their... Was this the first time that they intervened in this? I believe there was a long chain of legal action that took place in the U.S. courts. Am I remembering this correctly?
This is following this whole thing, this matter.
Mm.
So when we got this odd instruction to suspend all contractual, you know, obligations or engagement with ICANN, the independent review panel ruled in their favor, in DCA's favor, that because what happened when DCA failed to fulfill on the GAC requirements, the Government Advisory Committee, they did not have, they had more than one objection. The Government Advisory Committee advised ICANN not to proceed with DCA's application. Number two, DCA did not have anywhere next to the 60% threshold requirement to qualify for Dot Africa.
That's support from the African governments, right?
They only had one letter from some country on the continent, and we had the requirement, the 60%. And on top of that, we had the AUC behind us, sponsoring or supporting us. So we had this overwhelming support. So they were put back into a re-evaluation of their application. Again, through the evaluation process, they could not fulfill the requirements of the 60% threshold and not having more than one objection from the GAC or the GAC countries. And then at that point, the evaluators recommended to ICANN to continue and delegate Dot Africa to ZA Central Registry. It is at that point in a meeting in Morocco that DCA decided, when they heard that this matter is now going to go through, it will happen, they approached the US courts.
Ah, okay.
And they applied for a temporary restraining order. They were granted the temporary restraining order.
On what basis?
On basis that there has been collusion between ICANN and ZACR, ICANN and AUC, that DCA has been disadvantaged, has been marginalized, and all spurious, you know, allegations that found no ground, you know. The matter was then taken to the court, and a preliminary injunction was granted. We went to the U.S. court, and now the whole matter changed. It required us now to bring in ourselves as ZA Central Registry. This injunction was against ICANN. So ICANN was to defend its injunction based on the policies or the bylaws. And one of those would have been that... when you sign the agreement with ICANN, there is a waiver that you signed that you cannot take ICANN to courts, nor sue ICANN.
All right.
So DCA was equally challenging that she was forced, or DCA was forced to sign that, you know, without full understanding. So the courts ruled in favor of DCA on preliminary injunction, and we had to apply again to the courts with ICANN. We decided then as ZA Central Registry to enjoin ICANN in this matter, because we were also affected. Any further delay was a harm to our operations. You know, we were hemorrhaging, we were spending money in keeping this entire project afloat in anticipation of finalization of these court proceedings. Then this matter was taken to a higher supreme, there's your state courts. You know, it's a difficult, you know, legal thing in the U.S. So the different, you know, it's a state or your California district court or district court. Mm. So eventually the matter went to the district court, and Judge Halms was the one who finally ruled in the favor of ICANN on the grounds that there is no chance that DCA can prevail.
Okay.
Now, an issue of preliminary injunction is always ruled on the merits of being or of prevailing. So if the chances of prevailing on the case are limited, then they rule against you. So it became evident to Judge Halms that the chances of DCA prevailing in this matter are very minimum. And he cited, you know, a number of reasons, you know, in his judgment. And he said preliminary injunction declined, and we could then be delegated .Africa. And one of those was a different court had ruled on a different matter on this waiver issue brought in by other applicants to .Africa that they cannot sue or take ICANN to court. Now, those entities that took ICANN to court, they lost that case, and which meant that clause in the bylaws was applicable and enforceable. And equally, Judge Halms used that. He said, this is enforceable. You cannot sign on something and claim that you were not aware or you were hoodwinked into entering into such an agreement. And also that any further harm to the continent, you know, is unfair to the people of Africa in exercising their rights on their digital identifier .Africa. And he ruled that the support that has been demonstrated by the entire continent is sufficient to allow for the delegation of .Africa to ZA Central Registry. So early this year, we then got the final delegation from ICANN, which was
which allowed you to kickstart the
which
process.
Was good news for us, but it was good news with you know, a lot of hesitance that you don't know if this matter will be thrown to court or brought to courts again. Yeah. Mm.
So was that the end of it, or is .Connect Africa still pursuing a legal claim?
It's not the end of it.
It's not.
It's the end of the beginning.
Okay.
What it means really is that when this matter was brought to court, the preliminary injunction, which enabled us to continue being delegated, the matter still stands in the courts.
I see.
All right. It now needs to be further, you know, brought to the courts. There's a date set for the 9th of August where ICANN has applied for a summary judgment, which would be early judgment to kick this matter out of the courts permanently.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't happen, the summary judgment is not successful now in August, then we have a court date for the 28th of February, 2018. This is where we are with regards to this court proceeding. But we hope the summary judgment in the next month, in the next few days. Yeah, touch wood.
Right of August.
Yes.
Okay, fascinating bit of history there. Complex. I thought the actual process of making the .Africa domain available to businesses and end users was complex, but the actual formation of this thing in the first place was pretty complex, wasn't it? But let's talk a bit about that process. Firstly, the backing of the AU Commission. Why was that so important to this whole process?
Because the geographic top level domain names are associated with a name of a place, or name of a city or river, and invariably that name is associated with people or governments. So you would need the support of those individuals, be it government or people. Africa is a name through the UNESCO agreement. The custodianship of that name, Africa, is under the Africa Union.
Okay,
you know, it has been with the OAU then, Organization of African Union. So all those responsibilities, I believe, have been or assigned to the new entity, Africa Union.
Okay.
So this is why we had to get that permission from and support from Africa Union.
Understood.
Yes.
Okay. So there are a number of rapid fire phases we're going through right now. Can you walk me through when this started? I think it was early April, if my memory serves. And where are we now in the process? We've been through the so-called sunrise phase. We're now moving into the general availability phase as of this week. But it's quite a complex rollout. Just walk me through the different stages that we've been through so far and what's still to come.
Yeah. So the entire launch of any domain name is intended also to protect certain individuals against name theft and abuse of certain names. So we have to have Sunrise, and Sunrise, which started on the 4th of April, is a process that allows only trademark holders to defend, protect their names, to apply for their names. So the process ran for about 60 days where we were allowing only trademark holders, and this was done through a process which, a trademark clearinghouse and our own MVS, which was also validating a system.
Through what
for
is
these
MV?
Names.
MVS is what? Mark validation.
Mark validation system. Yeah.
Okay.
So, so the TMCH is more of an ICANN affiliated entity.
Okay.
And Mark validation system is our own, our creation to make it affordable and easy for our own Africa trademark holders to apply. It becomes very expensive, really, to go through the TMCH, but it is a requirement within the ICANN bylaws that you have to use the TMCH. But as a backup system, if your name is not in the TMCH, then you could apply through the MVS, the Mark Validation System. So those processes were in place to ensure affordability if you are not in the TMCH. So this process ran for the 60 days as stated. And once it ends, but parallel to this process of Sunrise, we also invite governments. There is another list, a government reserve name list. Now, governments are allowed to reserve 100 names that are associated with their culture, religion, the towns, the cities, and or any other, heritage-related matters. And each of the 54 plus governments across the country had to apply for that between then and June. And on top of the 100 names, they also had 20 offensive names. So you would ring fence all those offensive names, never to be used again.
I'm going to ask you what those are.
Anything that would incite violence, anything that would create unhappiness amongst a community, for us in South Africa would be what? Gaffer.Africa.
You don't want to use words. Does it exclude offensive sexual terms?
Sexual terms. The government. So for this one, it would be your government appointed representative. They would be the one identifying those names. So if there's a religious offensive term, that one would be included. If there's a social offensive term, that would be included. And racial offensive term, those would be included, limited to 20 names.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. So okay. We think it's one way of ensuring that these names are never registered and they are put in some big vault out there, you know.
Is there an adjudicator who will decide if a word in future may be considered offensive, or is it limited to those initial names that you've identified?
We trust that because that representative who represents each government would have a mandate of their government. So the government, through the Ministry of Culture, Ministry of Science or Technology, etc., would identify names that would be categorized in that section. So, for example, in South Africa, they have a representative coming from the Department of Technology and Postal Telecommunications and Postal Services. So that representative is expected to be interfacing with the rest of the departments then in the identification of the 100 critical names and, identification of those 20 offensive names.
Okay.
So it's a process, really, that it's involving government. It's not a single entity that would sit and do that. They could even, in consultation with the Human Research Council, you know, or any of these bodies that are protecting human rights, you know. And because I believe such bodies would have a long list of names that would be classified as offensive, yeah.
Okay, so that's done now, is it? You've identified those names, that process is concluded?
Yes, no. Partly.
Partly, okay.
We've had countries that have gone beyond the 100, but we're trying to bring them down to... Okay. They get excited about these names. But then we have countries that have zero, you know, but they do have a representative. They are not uncertain about this. So, but we're shaking the tree to get it started. I understand. You know what happened, Duncan, is this process has been running for quite a lengthy period. We started talking about it 2012, 2013, 2014. We said, now it's happening. And suddenly we stopped. So all those representatives, they went on a slow mode, you know, and now they had to be re-engaged again, reignited and come up with their names and complete. But I must say, North Africa is the active region.
Oh, interesting.
They have completed their 100 and they are looking for more names, you know. Yeah. Southern Africa is the slowest.
Interesting. Including South Africa.
Including South Africa. Including South Africa, certainly. We had to make phone calls, send SMSs and emails reminding them, complete your list. Yeah? Because if you don't complete your list of names, these names could be used by other entities, you know, who are not supposed to be getting, you know, those government-related names or heritage or, you know, cultural names that would have been, you know, better placed within government. You know?
Okay. So let's go back to the processes involved.
The process. So Sunrise, it was done on the end of or beginning of the 4th of June.
So that trademark validation process where you reserve names, how many names were reserved as part of that process?
We had our target, which is very high, 1,250, but we eventually had 1,001 names applied for and reserved. Which I can say it's quite a significant number comparing with other global GTLDs. It puts us in the top 10 globally of all those 1,000 plus names that were released. So we're quite happy that we achieved a significant target. You know,
I mean, that is a big number. If you consider that it is actually quite an expensive process to go through, and companies typically contract a law firm to do this process.
Yes,
and
yeah.
Lawyers' fees are not cheap. So
it's lawyers' firms, it's your TMCH fair cost, and so there are a lot of costs associated with the trademark in our application. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But so 1,001 is a good. It's a good run. Yeah.
Okay. So Sunrise is done. What happens next?
Now Sunrise is done. Then comes a next phase that we call Land Rush. Lovely terms, you know. So Land Rush is where we make available brand names and premium names, and again, all these phases have a different pricing, you know, differential. So your Sunrise would be priced different to the Land Rush. And what we did in South Africa for the Dot Africa, we split the Land Rush, which was to run for 1 month, June 5th to the the 3rd of July. So this was then split into four phases. 1 week would be a different pricing, and the second week different pricing with different targets. So we saw quite interesting uptake throughout the weeks, you know, where the phase one being the most expensive, but we saw a large uptake.
When you say most expensive, what are we talking about here during that period?
We deal with wholesale pricing.
Right.
So whatever is stated here is wholesale.
Yeah.
Because it's just the name itself, nothing to it.
Sure.
So it would be in the region of 5,000 dollars.
Dollars.
So then it goes to 2 and then to down to 500. So yes.
And you didn't have to produce a trademark in this phase. It was purely you stump up the cash, you get the domain.
You get no, it's not a first come first served.
It's not.
Yes.
Okay.
So here you still have to compare the, if there is a claim to it, then it will go through the claim thing. If there is a name already sitting in the trademark clearinghouse, similar to what you're applying for, then that would be a claims. But if there is no claims to that name, but there is two or more than one entity applying for the same name, then that name goes into auction. So an auction would go, and the bride or the most beautiful one with the purse is the winner and takes the name. So we were running auctions at the end of each week.
Okay. Were you guys doing that? Was ICANN doing that?
No. It's our internal process. ICANN is no longer involved in this rollout.
Interesting.
So from Monday to Friday, we look if there's a name collision, then those names would go into auction over the weekend. Then by Sunday, the name would have been allocated to the winner. Then Monday, the new process opens, the second phase.
Was this all done online, these auctions?
All done online.
And what did we see anything interesting come out of this? Was there some serious bidding going on?
It's always exciting. Yeah. But I would have loved to see more biddings, because more biddings means that there's a lot of excitement and a lot of interest in a particular name. So we've seen close to shy of 10 names, really, that went into collision and were bidded for, you know.
Can you mention some of those names?
I can't remember some of them offhand, but I'm trying to remember them offhand, but I just can't find one.
I presume they'd be common words like news.africa, for example.
Yes, yeah. And I'll try and before the end of this discussion, I might have remembered one, yeah.
Okay, no problem. So that process is now concluded. We've been through those 4 weeks where the price has been steadily coming down. And now, as of this week, as of the 4th of July, was it? Yesterday?
4th of July, yesterday.
We move into general availability.
Availability.
What is that?
Now, you know, the interesting thing to this, the date, 4th of July, we sat around as management team trying to find the whole schedule for the names. Mm. So one of the things is that we try to make sure that 4th of July happens as general availability. And we were thinking of the American holidays. Like, why? And we thought of Judge Helms, because we think Judge Helms was very important in the decision that he made. You know, and we said, let's give this as a gift to the Americans and say, look, in as much as the whole court process took so long and there was a lot of anger in the fact that our name is adjudicated in a court in the U.S., but finally, there has been a positive news that came out of this. So 4th of July was our general availability. Now, general availability is a phase where names are made available on first come, first served. So we have protected the trademark holders. We have made available your premium names. So now it's any person out there can come and acquire their name of their choice. Masilela.Africa. That is available as of the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. And any other name, McLeod.Africa. That you can take now if you're ready for it. And that's what it is. It will run until the end of this month, then we go to another phase. So we've broken again, you know, the phase of general availability into two. in terms of pricing.
Okay.
So come August, the price for your domain name drops even further. So it is more affordable as of the 1st of August 2017.
I went onto a couple of domain registration websites when it first opened on the 4th and looked up some names. And I see the pricing is around 2,550 Rand in that sort of ballpark. What happens in the next phase, next month? What is the pricing? Does it halve? What happens to it?
It drops significantly. Mm-hmm. We are looking at $18 per name.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a massive drop.
Massive drop. And going forth, we are looking at renewals going forth. 2018, $12 per name. I must say, it's a massive drop, but we are still worried because this is a continental-wide name and also global. And when we look at some of the countries in the continent, they would charge their country codes as high as $400, and which makes it unaffordable for a lot of the citizens. And if you were to compare that name to what we charge in South Africa, we equally are the most affordable country in terms of domain names across the continent. So .Africa needs to be priced such that it doesn't bring a lot of or cannibalize the country codes in those various countries. Mm. We probably need to have a dialogue with the rest of the CCTLDs across the continent and have a discussion that looks at price harmonization, mm-hmm, and issues around policy harmonization and technology harmonization. And those things for us, we think will then enable, whilst .Africa is growing, it does not cannibalize those country codes, the CCTLDs in those countries, but still allows them to grow. We need to monitor that space. We need to be very responsible. You know, .Africa as a name, with the support of the Africa Union Commission, is intended to benefit certain programs across the continent. We have identified four programs with the Africa Union Commission, which is, one, using some of the proceeds from .Africa to, one, develop Africa content, local content across the countries. Two, to assist in the growth of registrars across the continent. We do not have the numbers that we want to see of registrars. If you look at the South African market, we have over 450 registrars, you know, our own accredited registrars. And these are the go-to market. Mm. If you do not have a large number of registrars, the chances of growing your market is limited extensively. Then the third area for responsibility would be the CCTLD growth. Those country codes, they need to be grown, they need to be administered locally. We have a lot of country code top-level domains that are administered overseas, outside the continent. And we're trying to get those back onto the continent. This is what this project needs to be doing. Then the fourth element will be identifying Pan-African ICT-related programs. And these are the responsibilities that some of the funds will be funding, you know, through what we call a .Africa Foundation. Yeah.
Okay. So how far until we reach the lowest price point once this process is all completed and it's just, you just go to a website and register a domain at the lowest possible price? When is that all done?
So August is the lowest price, 18. But come 2018, July,
yeah,
our financial year starts in July, the prices will drop to $12.
Okay.
Yes. This includes whatever fee you have paid during Sunrise, Land Rush, and general availability in 2017. In 2018, it will all be standardized at $12.
Okay, so trademark holders included will just pay the $12.
Everybody.
Okay.
Renewals, you know, would be at $12.
Okay.
New applications, renewals would be at $12.
Okay.
All so right. this, as I was saying earlier on, it is an attempt to ensure that .Africa is easily accessible and available to all, and also that at least the entire, you know, citizens of the continent can also have a digital identity. Because that's another thing that we want to do. You know, it's create this digital identity. We have a program around digital identity for the citizens across the continent. Yeah.
Okay. Now, tell me a bit about premium names. I went on to a registry and I thought, well, let me see if there's some cool names available. So I typed in a couple, including shop.africa, which must be an incredibly valuable domain. And the website I was on said it was available for 2,550 rand. So I immediately added it to the cart and attempted to pay for it. But once I added it to the cart and went through that process, it popped up a message saying that this name may have been reserved for a higher price. Please continue with your registration, and then someone will be in contact with you to discuss what that higher price might be. What is that? What have I run into there?
Yeah. You've run into a contest now.
Okay.
That's what it is. There is another applicant for the same name. So remember, you would have applied for the premium names. The premium names, they go through the auction.
Mm-hmm.
Your general availability names that are not classified as premium, they are first come, first served. You can get it. But if you can pay the highest fee, then it's your name. Or it could be a name that is in the TMCH. So we are required to create a warning, a flag that that name that you're applying for is registered, but it hasn't been taken up by that entity who has a trademark to the name. You can proceed.
Mm.
If and when they do raise that, which is outside their protection timeline, then that name is going to be yours. So, yeah, you are going into an auction process, you know, where that will be a lot of excitement.
Luckily, I closed the browser window before I actually went through with the process, because I'm not sure I have the appetite to get involved in a bidding war for something like Shop.
No, try any other three-digit letter, you know. Yeah.
Okay, so there's a lot of interest out there in these key names.
We are looking at the process, general availability. You know, as an example, starting yesterday, we had our target to close to, I think, 2,000 for general availability, which would be running for the 28 days. Yesterday, we registered close to 1,000 names in one day. Today, we're sitting at another 1,000. So this is a record for us. It's unbelievable. So hopefully it will keep, you know, increasing. But we know that this will flatten off, because people that come in now to take the names that they've always been targeting, if you don't take it now, you're taking chances down the line, you know, if you will find that name. The names really, Duncan, what they mean for a lot of business is access to this huge African market. It means access to a beautiful brand name. Now, the other interesting thing, whilst we're looking at this growth, we have not even looked or seen the Chinese market, which has its own appetite to certain names and certain strings and etc., you know, which could be what they call the lucky numbers or lucky names. And once those come in, there's going to change the whole bell game, you know.
Indeed. So I guess the message then, Lucky, is that if you want to get one of these cool names, you probably should be getting in there and registering pretty quickly. And if it's a really good name like Shop or News or Technology or something similar, you're probably going to get involved in a bidding war even in this general availability phase?
If you go first, no. If it's available, you take it.
Okay.
Because if you find hotel.africa,
yeah,
you can take it now.
Immediately.
This is why we say so general availability is first come, first served.
I see. Understood now. Okay. Because I actually went on to look at registering shop.africa on the 4th of July. So maybe the domain name registrar had it wrong in that it popped up that message?
No, for now, as of the 4th of July, all names are first come, first served.
Okay, so it's a free-for-all as of now.
Yes, free-for-all. Go for it. You find hotel.africa and consolidate and bring all the hotels of the continent around one domain name. Hey, be my guest. Games or safari.africa, which already has been taken.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. Mm. But then, of course, the interesting thing is now dealing with the country names.
Yes.
It has its own, you know, issues, politics. Who owns the Nile? So whoever will adjudicate, being the AUC review panel, they need to decide who owns Nile.africa. So, yeah.
I saw that South.africa had been taken, I presume, by the South African government. I guess we'll have to wait and see what website pops up.
The interesting thing is, yes, it should have been taken by South Africa, but we knew that it has a lot of value, that name. And if looking at the delays, to be honest, once we saw the delays by the government, we decided that we need to reserve it for, you know, South Africa.
Okay.
So South.africa has been reserved.
On the government's behalf.
Yes, on the government's behalf,
All right. Excellent. Lucky Masilele is CEO of the ZA Central Registry. Lucky, this has been a really interesting, fascinating discussion about this domain, and I look forward to seeing how many websites pop up on it. Tech Central could very well be one of them, so watch this space.
Yes, certainly. Thank you so much, Duncan, for this interview. And I think we are going to be now watching the growth of the domain names and continue the celebration. If I may say this very quickly.
Sure.
One of the things that we are doing, we have this campaign for creating awareness across the continent. This started in March already. We are at the AU, Africa Union. We had a flag hoisting, you know, event just before Nkosazana, you know, left office. But the two incoming chairpersons and deputy chair were there. So it was a beautiful event. And just yesterday, on the 3rd of July, we were back at the Africa Union at the 29th AU summit of head of states or heads of state. I think we had a significant number of heads of state attending that summit. And the .Africa flag in that Mandela Hall was presented in front of all those heads of state. You know? And this was kick-starting the awareness campaign. So we have this program that will be running across the continent, creating awareness, you know, that we'd have a name, .Africa, and these are the benefits around it and how you can use it. We would like, down the line, hopefully, that you would be able to access .Africa, you know, just transacting with your goat or chicken, eventually. And that idea was even further endorsed in my mind when President Mugabe stood up and was announcing that he is donating 300 heads of cattle. But seeing that the AU doesn't have a crawl, so he had to auction that and he brought a check instead of $1 million and donated to the AU Foundation. Now, part of the campaign would be equally summiting Kilimanjaro. We'd like to go up with this flag. The flag is on its way from Ethiopia tonight, today. So we are going to take the flag through the various regions, you know, these economic regions across the continent. And finally, we summit Mount Kilimanjaro, fly to the highest peak of the...
Are you going up personally?
Definitely, definitely. I wouldn't miss that opportunity. No? I must make sure that at least I'm fit, healthy for that. So, yeah, then once we summit, then we take the flag. It's planned to be delivered back to Africa Union in January 2018, when the heads of state meet again. So we have this tight program that we need to be putting in place, starting next month, West Africa, North Africa, then Southern. Then East Africa is probably going to be the last to celebrate as we summit, you know. And yeah.
Sounds great. It's been
You should join us.
I also need to get into shape if I'm going to come up there with you. But Lucky, thank you for your time. Thanks for chatting to Tech Central on the podcast today. And I know this has been a heck of a process over the last few years, and there's still lots to go. So all the best of luck. Thank you.